Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are today. We are coming to you on a Friday, a little bit different show, but how are you doing this fine morning, Mr. Rob?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing great, buddy. I just had some ramen for breakfast, so I'm feeling excellent.
Yeah, the breakfast of champions.
We just kind of wanted to, you know, do a free talk Friday. We haven't done one in a while. Just kind of talking about a few things, looking at the games this weekend. But what did you want to start talking out about? I mean, we got some big games coming up in the Premier League, few in the Spanish League as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple things that, you know, before we get into previews, one of the things I want to talk about is a big topic of conversation is what's going on with the UEFA Champions League and how they're changing it I believe it's next year going forward, where the top four leagues in Europe, which is going to be Italy, Germany, Spain, and England, they're going to get 16 guaranteed spots out of the 32 teams that make it to the group stage. And what a lot of the talk is now surrounding it is that they want to make Champions League or mold the Champions League economic model around like what they do with the NFL. Do you think that's something that's, you know, plausible for the Champions League to do?
I'm not too familiar with, I guess you have to explain, what do they mean exactly, like in what terms of how the NFL is structured?
Well, just in terms of their viewership, now the global audience between the Champions League and NFL is, heavily favored towards the Champions League. Yet, in terms of advertising dollars, the NFL blows away the Champions League. So that's what they're trying to do. They want to bring in a lot. They believe they should be able to bring in a lot more money into the Champions League through advertising, you know, things of that nature. So, I mean, is that something that you think is plausible that they can do?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, they already changed, for those that don't know, next year, I believe it's starting as well. They're changing some of the starting times for the Champions League. So there's going to be games that start, I believe, at 1 o'clock now. And they're trying to stack them as well, kind of like they do in the NFL. I don't know if that's true, but... No, I mean, it's definitely plausible, especially if they cater to the, you know, the Asian market by, you know, having earlier games. No, they definitely can do it. I mean, it's pretty big here in the States now, too. So there's no reason it should make they can make a lot more money. I definitely see it happening. I don't know if I like the top four guaranteed because, you know, there's always three really strong leagues, but there's always one that's kind of faltering. Right now, that one might be the Italian, but I don't know. I mean, kind of some part of the cool thing about the Champions League is, you know, seeing some of these smaller teams make it, and I think that'll really deviate away from that. So, I mean, it comes with the good and the bad. We will see, I guess, more of the big teams, but some teams have always gotten screwed out of the Champions League. So it just depends on, I guess, if you're one of the fans of the bigger clubs or, you know, if you're a fan of like Ghent or one of these smaller clubs. So, I guess it just depends on what your team or what club you support or just your overall opinion on globalization of the Champions League.
No, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point, you know, with the talk of the big club versus the small club, or I guess even big league versus small league. With this new implementation that they're putting in, do you think this is the death of the smaller leagues?
What I do think is there's probably more truth to this North European Super League, because I think what will end up happening is, I think some of these, you know, countries like Belgium and the Netherlands, who have good teams, but, you know, top to bottom, they're not as strong as some of the other countries, I do think that they'll merge. I mean, I could see, you know, for example, like I mentioned, I can see Belgium and Netherlands joining, and that way they can qualify at least one more team, because their coefficient would be stronger. Maybe some of these other Scandinavian countries just join one league. It would be a little weird because, for example, there was talk about this North European League, being created, and a lot of the Swedish clubs were kind of protesting because really they would have none of the teams in the first division. And also a lot of these teams don't want to lose their rivalries and stuff, They're being realistic. They're not going to be competing for, Champions League spots or whatnot. And the only thing that, one of the things that they look forward, most to is like derbies and the rivalry games. So I think it's kind of inevitable that stuff like this does happen. And I mean, if this is the compromise, instead of a Super League, which has been mentioned a few times, I'd rather take this. But yeah, I think there's going to be, more changes to suit the Asian markets, which is a really, really big market,
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, we saw it this year, the Clásico, on December 3rd, they're doing it at 10:15 in the morning. I mean, I think I can only remember one Clásico. I think it was 2007. That was anywhere near that early. I think it was 10:30. And that was, late in the season when the title had already been decided. And I mean, the main reason they're doing that is to cater to the bigger markets, because yes, it's blacked out, for example, in the UK, but it doesn't really matter because they're making so much more money by switching the time. So, you have to compromise. And I love the Champions League. I don't like the people that run the, UEFA, of course, but. You gotta take the lesser of the two, evils.
Yeah, the North European Super League that you were alluding to there, just in case anyone who's listening doesn't know, what that is that's going to be a combination of the top teams from Belgium, Netherlands, Scotland, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and I'm not sure if there's any other countries that are in talks to do that, but from those countries right there joining to create a Super League. And, take on that whole league is while it would be a lot of fun to watch just because those are the top teams from those leagues, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be able to generate enough revenue in order to maintain that, just because when you think of the top teams from those leagues going up against the Premier League, La Liga, the Bundesliga, Serie A, it still doesn't get you excited as much as those games would. When you think of say Liverpool are going to play Everton, I think that's something. Well, I know me, that's going to get me going a hell of a lot more. But even Arsenal Tottenham would get me going a lot more than saying Celtic playing Ghent or someone like that. It just has a bigger draw to it.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. It is going to be weird. I got to look that up again, but I do believe that time change starts next year, which will be a little weird. And then also for the fourth spot, so they were also talking about traditional powerhouse teams. So I don't know if there's any truth to that, but my understanding was that if it came down to it at the end of the season, if there was, let's say, for example, the Serie A, AC Milan finishes fifth, and then a team like Palermo finishes fourth, they would give the top four to Milan instead because of there's some sort of coefficient point. I think that one, I don't see that one happening because that just doesn't make sense. But I thought that was just a rumor, but I had been reading about I forget the name of it, but it's some sort of traditional coefficient. But, I mean, stuff like that is just – that is the reason why I say, hey, if this is the lesser of two evils that we have to take, I agree with it because that is just – I just hope they don't change it too much. I mean, we were hearing, not about UEFA, but – talks about FIFA, changing the World Cup and stuff. So it's kind of crazy that it's taken so long to, just get instant video replay, and now all of a sudden everything's getting sent kind of into whack So I don't know, man. It's definitely a kind of a nervous time for a lot of football fans, depending on where everything goes. And I mean, it could get better, or you know, it could get worse. But I just hope they don't, you know, fuck around too much with the way the Champions League is run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, well, the cynic in me firmly believes that there is a Super League on the horizon, because I do believe the clubs. I mean, let's be honest, they're the ones who hold all the power, and they're going to want as much money as they can. The fact of the matter is they're not going to want to share it with other clubs, which is sad, because when you think of the Leicesters, you know, that storyline, you know, that won't happen anymore. Things like that, which is unfortunate. So hopefully greed doesn't prevail, but the cynic in me says that greed is ultimately going to win, and we're going to be seeing a Super League sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Speaking of the Champions League, who do you like making the – I don't want to say winning, because I think that's too hard, but who do you see in the top four? Do you see kind of the same last four as last year? Do you think City will reach that? Do you think there will be another kind of like another darling, or who do you like progressing for you know, just title competitors really this season?
Right. Who do I feel is going to be semifinalists?
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously, you know, a lot of it has to do with who gets drawn with whom, you know, things like that. We don't know how that's going to shake out, but just assuming these the top four teams were to go. Obviously, the first team that I would say is Barcelona. I just think that they've been absolutely fantastic. I think they're made for this competition. The second team, I'm actually going to go with Borussia Dortmund. I think that they've been fantastic. I think they're only going to improve as the season goes along. The third team I'm going to say is Atletico Madrid. I don't know. I just really like the way Diego Simeone, he has them playing like Liverpool, like that they're in love with that competition. I don't know. I just really like them. The fourth team, I'm actually going to say Arsenal. I've just been really impressed with the way Arsenal's played this year, and I can only see better things, you know, going forward if they stay healthy, because it looks like they actually have depth position now that they might actually be able to take on the best teams and actually be able to, you know, escape with wins, you know, in the competition. So those four teams right there, again, I'll say Arsenal, Atletico Madrid, Barcelona, and Borussia Dortmund. Those would be the four teams that I would say at this point. How about you?
It's a little difficult. I'm trying to look. I don't know what team can beat Atletico Madrid. I mean, I think they would have had two Champions Leagues already if it wasn't for them having to play Real Madrid. So I definitely have them in there. I think Barcelona goes back to the semifinals this season, as long as they avoid Atletico, because it seems to be their kryptonite. I also like Arsenal. I think they'll be the kind of the outside team. You know, there's always, you know, three of the four are always top four teams when we make it. I think Arsenal, and they'll play, I think, the best Premier League side for me right now, at least in the Champions League, especially the way Ozil has kind of contributed. You know, he's contributing, you know, goal scoring that sometimes that, you know, when teams, you know, stack a lot of defenders against Alexis, he's provided kind of an outlet for that. And, I mean, that's great, because, you know, the way that they play, you know, it lends to being, you know, one forward heavy. So, and then the last team, I don't know, man. I guess I have to say Bayern Munich.
Okay.
I don't know. Real Madrid, I wasn't really impressed with them last season. But
I agree.
Really just the way
that
the defense is. Yeah, the way that their defense is playing lately, you know, Pepe did, I think it's kind of ridiculous he got nominated for the Ballon d'Or, but he did have a fantastic summer, and he was, I think, one of their best players, Real Madrid's best players last year. But, you know, for example, this game against Bilbao, Bilbao should have at least tied that game, and, he, you know, there was a lot of, for someone that's been in the game that long, it was kind of weird that, you know, he had so many mental errors. So, it's not so much that Real Madrid can't score. I just don't. Their defense, I think, is going to be a problem. And I think if they do run into a big club early, like Juventus or or Arsenal, maybe they'll have to play Bayern Munich, you know, earlier on. I think they'll have trouble. You know, of course, if they get to play Atletico Madrid every round, they'd win the whole thing again. But yeah, I don't know. I can't leave Bayern Munich out. And it's mostly because of their manager. Their manager is really great. I think he has 5 European Cups, which is pretty crazy. I know he won, I think it was 2 or 3 with AC Milan. So, no, I see them, you know, those 4. I agree with Arsenal, though. I think they're the one team, one of the most dangerous teams. You know, and Dortmund is getting back their, for me, their best player. So, I mean, maybe Dortmund surprises one of these other big clubs. But yeah, no, I don't know it's the X factor or the enigma is Atletico Madrid because, I mean, how do you score on that team? Whenever someone scores on them, it's so out of character and it looks, I mean, the goal against that Sevilla scored on them, you know, that was when I was watching the game, that was the one mental or the one mistake that I saw. And I mean, they were able to capitalize on it, but I don't know. I mean, if it's them, those four, I think Atletico have to be co-favorites. And it's not that, you know, they're much better than the other sides. It's just it's extremely hard to score on them. So that's who I would pick for the last 4.
Yeah, I mean, and I think we should just say that these last 4 is obviously leaving out the obvious favorite of Leicester City because they're obviously going to win it. But we're just trying to, you know, come up with 4 other teams that could win them.
Yeah, if I wouldn't be surprised to see you know, that's cool. I hope they you know, hopefully in the round 16 they draw, you know, somebody from Group B like Napoli or Besiktas, and then, you know, in the quarters maybe they'll draw the last remaining, you know, soft team, if you will. But no, yeah, hopefully they make it far. I want them at least to play one of the you know, the top sides of the competition.
Yeah, no, I mean, hopefully they get Real Madrid in the second round. They knock out Real Madrid. Then they get Bayern Munich in the quarterfinals, play Arsenal in the semifinals, and play Barcelona in the final. They win the cup. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I mean, that would have to be even more impressive than the title, I think. But
yeah.
Speaking of Leicester, you know, not to skip ahead, but they do travel to White Hart Lane this weekend. You know, Leicester coming off a pretty big win last weekend, 3-1. Who do you like in that match this weekend?
Honestly, I'm thinking of a draw at this point. I don't think there's much to give going there. How do you see that going?
I mean, the way that Leicester started and the way that they've played in their last 3 matches, I believe they have 7 goals in their last 3 matches. So they're playing exceptionally better. I mean, I think Spurs, I mean, you watch more of Spurs than I do, but are they going to sit back and just try to, you know, just play a counterattacking game against Leicester? I mean, if they do, then I can see a scoreless draw. But if Leicester managed to score the first one, I don't see how – the way that they've been playing, I don't see, you know, I think it'll open up the game, and I think Leicester can score a few. If I'd have to call it, I'd have to say, you know, I think Leicester's going to win, especially the way Mahrez is playing. He's playing, I think, even better this year than he was last year. So I got to say, I think I favor Leicester if you had to ask me right now.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing is it's tough to see the way Leicester plays without Mahrez. I mean, they seem to really struggle without him. And the way that Tottenham's set up now, the way that they press, I don't know that Mahrez is going to get a lot of space. So, but the fact that they have Slimani playing alongside Vardy now, as I said, it's just there's a lot of threats that the Spurs have to nullify there. And the fact that it seems that Leicester is actually improving as the season's gone on. I just don't see anything other than a draw at this point. And the fact that it does, I don't want to say that they've regressed. They just haven't gotten better, Tottenham. And so I don't know. It just really looks like it's going to be going towards a draw at this point. That's just how I see it. If I had to pick a winner, I guess I'd just go with Tottenham only because they're at home, but who knows?
Yeah. Some other big games this weekend. You know, Manchester, I believe, hosts Burnley. Barcelona hosts Granada. We have some Bundesliga. Mönchengladbach, another teams in the Champions League, they're hosting Frankfurt. And a pretty good match in the French League. Lille hosts PSG. What match are you looking forward to seeing this weekend out of all the leagues?
Probably the biggest game this weekend. It's at 12:30 on Saturday. Palace hosting Liverpool.
Okay.
No. I mean, hey, they're one of the they're joint top of the league. The way that City is dropping points lately, and you know Arsenal just kind of hitting just a little bump in the road last weekend. The way they've been playing, and they travel to Sunderland. I know that they historically have they don't have a hard time not necessarily winning, but the games at Sunderland are usually pretty high scoring. But that's a pretty big game because you know it is at Palace. If they take three more points, I don't see City dropping points at West Brom. In my opinion, but I could see Arsenal, having another draw. So Liverpool could solidify themselves as first or at least, leapfrog another one of those teams. So, I mean, and you know better than anybody, they've played one of their toughest, if they're not their toughest stretch of games already when they started the season. So, if Liverpool can pick up max points for a few weeks, I mean, they'll have a pretty decent cushion. That's why I guess, a lot of people kind of blow stuff out of proportion, but, if City do drop points again, it's going to be a squeaky bum time, at the Etihad. So,
Yeah, it is.
Good point on that.
If I had to pick, one game, I don't know if I could pick one game. I mean, there are four really big games that are going on this week. You have, actually today, at 2:45, PSG is playing Lille, and we know one of our buddies is a big PSG fan, and that's actually going to be a really tough game for them because Lille always comes up. For some reason, they always raise their game whenever they're playing PSG. That should be a good game. Tomorrow in the Serie A, you have Juventus and Napoli, as well as in the Bundesliga, you have Borussia Dortmund versus Schalke, and that's a rivalry match. That's a big match right there. And then on Sunday is, I'm trying to remember right now, there's a big, it's another French league game, and I apologize, I'm blanking on it right now. Marseille and Bordeaux. That is another big rivalry game right there. So for those four games right there, I mean, if you want to see intense football, those four games I would tell you to definitely check out. As well as you also have the four MLS playoff games this weekend. If that's something that you are into, definitely check those games out as well.
Yeah, it'll be funny. I read in I was reading online that the Napoli players are going to be welcoming Higuain, which is kind of a strange comment. But they said they're going to welcome him back. Like a father who is angry at his son, which I don't know what the hell that means, but I know it is going to be a pretty hostile game. They've looked a lot better after losing their biggest piece than I thought they would. They're first in their Champions League group. They have had no problem scoring, so that'll definitely be a big one. I think the best game of the weekend is probably the one that you touched upon with the German league. The Dortmund Schalke game is huge in either arena. I mean, so I was actually trying to go to that game last year, but yeah, no, that's an amazing game. And I mean, Royce is back in training. I don't think he'll start, but that'll be crazy to see when he comes back onto the pitch. I mean, Dortmund has,
if you're a Dortmund fan, it's nothing new to you. But to the rest of the fans, I mean, they've lost their one of their best, if not their best player, every season for the last 5 years, and usually to the same team. So they've lost so many pieces. They've restructured, and right now they're looking like one of the best teams. I don't know where this guy Tuchel came from,
yeah,
but
Tuchel.
He's been a great coach. And, I mean, he has them competing with everyone. And, I mean, up until now, they haven't even had their best player. It will be weird to see. I'm interested to see if once, you know, Royce is back up to full fitness, you know, who's going to be benched. Is it Dembele? Is it Pulisic? Or is it just going to be kind of a rotation? But, yeah, no, that's going to be a great game. And the Bundesliga is great, man. They're for even if you don't know the teams, they're such, it's such a high-scoring league. It's to me, it's like a little mixture of the Spanish and the Premier League. It's a lot faster, in my opinion, than the Spanish league, and it's a little bit more technical than the Premier League. And it's, I think it's just a great blend. I mean, that's going to be the game of the week for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Borussia Dortmund game is going to be in the Westfalen Stadion, which is home to Borussia Dortmund. And, you know, what's going to be really interesting for them is the, when I say interesting, it's awesome to see is the little, graphic that they pull up. I'm blanking on what's called the TIFO.
Yeah. The TIFO that they build are fucking,
yeah.
They're some of the best,
yep.
Man.
Oh, absolutely. And one thing I want to touch upon, which this is just so ironic, Thomas Tuchel, he took over for Jurgen Klopp at Mainz after Jurgen Klopp left Mainz to go to Dortmund. And then when Jurgen Klopp left Dortmund, Tuchel took over Dortmund. So I'm pretty much sure that once Klopp leaves Liverpool, Thomas Tuchel is going to be our next coach. So
that
just
that
looks
like cunt is going to be coming to Anfield, huh? That's that's interesting.
Yeah.
No, but Dortmund's, yeah, man, they've had some great fucking managers. But no, I'm excited about that one. And then I guess before we leave, what did you think? I just heard about this West Ham Chelsea. I guess there was some violence. Some kid got hurt or something. I know that, you know, there's a lot of violence in English football, but it's kind of not as common, you know, in the top leagues, in the top division, excuse me. There's enough crowd control. Is this just something that's just going to always happen no matter how careful the security is? Or?
Well, yeah. I mean, let's be honest. We you and I both know what was involved in that fight, and that one thing is alcohol. I mean, we know that.
Yep.
So anytime alcohol is involved, you're going to have crazy things like that. We saw in the Ryder Cup, we saw American fans, when they're drinking too much, yelling to Rory McIlroy to suck a dick. You know, people act like idiots. During the Oklahoma City Philadelphia 76ers game, a doctor gives Russell Westbrook two middle fingers right in his face in the middle of the game.
In the defense of the medical field, that guy is from Philadelphia, so he doesn't. I don't think he represents the actions of all medical professionals.
Yeah.
But no, well, yeah, I guess it's just something that's always going to happen, especially in a rivalry game in a derby. So,
absolutely. So,
okay.
Do you have any final words before we head off here?
No, just thanks for listening, guys. Blog Talk Radio, and then we have our SoundCloud page. And if you can, like our Facebook page, Two Guys, One Ball. And then if you ever want to hear my incessant ramblings on Twitter, my handle is Drunk Barca Fan. But thanks for listening, guys. Hopefully you guys check out some of those matches. That Borussia, that derby is going to be really good. And I'm interested
Absolutely.
To see the I would love to be there for the Eden Turin, because the Napoli Ultras are fucking maniacs. I've seen some of the videos when they arrive at other cities. So that's definitely, you know, I know the Serie A doesn't get as much press as it used to, but that's going to be a great fucking match.
Absolutely. Yeah, and just to other people who listen in, we really do appreciate you listening in. We will try to get back on more of a regular schedule, just so that we can get you guys, you know, what you want to hear from us. And we'd love to hear from you. So, yeah, just like our pages. Hit up Diego on his Drunk Barca Fan Twitter handle. Ask any questions, anything you want to hear. Write us emails, anything. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So we really do appreciate you.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yes. Enjoy it.